an interview of Engineer Emmanuel Emesre for the NNSL Online Archive Project. Please state your parentage, place of birth, state, and your early education before joining the NNSL.
Yes, well, it's a pleasure being on this platform, you know, taking us back into the years. Mm-hmm. Well, my dad is retired Army Captain Sunday Emesre from Delta State, Arabolugu in particular, and my mom is a retired teacher, Madam Martina, from Abbey, it's in Delta State. My early education actually started from Omokwata in same Delta State before moving to Sapele in 1964 to St. Patrick Primary School, Sapele. Now, that's where I had my early education. Then thereafter, I moved to Lagos. Then from Lagos back to my place, Abbey, in 1972 to start secondary school. Okay, so from there, I moved to Baptist High School in Benin in 1975, where I finished up in 1977. So, it was from there I joined the Ministry of Civil Aviation as an air traffic control assistant. Thereafter, I left to join the Meteorological Department of the same Ministry of Civil Aviation before getting admission to the Maritime Academy of Nigeria. Around then, it was Nautical College of Nigeria.
Yes.
Yes, I actually got this when the Defense Academy exam didn't quite scale through because of governmental local government stories and signatures for your chairman and all that. And I was in Kaduna.
Okay.
Before my letter came from Delta State, it was already too late. So from there, when we finished up at the Nautical College, we had to go to the to National Line for our sea service. National Shipping Line. That's where we continue our sea service to become officers. And
but the question, before you went to Nautical College,
yes,
you had joined NNSL?
Negative, I've not.
Oh, or you joined the Nautical College on your own?
Yes, we went, they were looking for, I think we're just 72 cadet officers in the whole country, engineering and navigation course. So we came in on our own as individuals, not sponsored by anybody.
So why did you do that? Did you have a mind that you wanted to work for NNSL?
No, not necessarily work for NNSL, because funny thing is, let me go back a little, if I may not take your time too much.
Yeah.
Back, as I said, I was in Sapele in 1964, and while we were staying at urban area, we do take a walk to the cemetery road, and we see seamen coming from the Ogorodi water site.
Okay.
All these people bringing timber, all these African timber and plywood shipping coming.
Yes.
They walk, when we see the seamen, they will be swinging from side to side with handkerchief dangling by their right pocket. The long handkerchief that's almost getting to the knees. So children, out of curiosity, will start asking questions. Why are they so swinging and walking like this? They tell us they are seamen.
Okay.
And they are doing that because the sea is always rough, so they are always swaying from side to side.
I see.
So curiosity will make us follow them. And then only for us to find that they end up at California Cinema. I mean, it's at California Hotel.
Okay.
And before you know it, you see two girls on the left, two on the right. They are buying this Guinness and drinking. And how much was the Guinness there? 4 pence. A bottle of Guinness.
Yeah.
So that actually remained in my memory. When I went to the Nautical College then, Maritime Academy now, it occurred to me that the life I'm going to live on board is what I saw in Sapele. And that guided me that I would never want to be like those kind of people I saw. I didn't know any difference between officers and regiment. All I know is seaman is a seaman.
Okay.
So that actually affected or greatly affected my perception of the job and how I fitted in. It actually helped me because as a 1984, I had to get married. Because I told my mom, I'm going to get married. I don't want to go to sea and be messing up.
Okay.
So I got married in 83 actually, and I got my first baby in 84. So...
So when you finished at Oron,
yes,
how did you eventually enter into NNSL?
Okay. When I finished at Oron that 84, National Shipping Line by agreement with Nigerian government asked them to take us aboard as cadets.
Okay.
You remember the days of River Andoni and River Mada, the training cadet ships, training cadet ships. So we were assigned engineers to one, navigators to the other. So that was how. And then in the course of it, we naturally blended into that. Along the line, MPA, Nigerian Ports Authority, sponsored some of us when we went for the 1 year, I mean, 1 year industrial attachment with MPA, that's when we individually applied to MPA. Those of us in engineering applied to MPA and some navigators for sponsorship.
Okay.
Like Captain Ibubogu, you know him.
Okay. Okay. He was your mate.
Yeah, we were classmates. So we applied and then they took us as their own cadets.
Okay.
So that was why they were now sending us to National Line for sea service. They sent us to Egypt for our exams, second class, and then the chief officers for the second officer, chief officer, the competency exams.
Yes.
We all had to do ours at Egypt.
Yes.
Second class to chief engineer first class.
Yes.
All was Egypt, sponsored by MPA.
I see.
Yes. So, well, that is...
Okay, so that's how it started.
Yes, yes.
So, did you... But at some point, yes, you eventually joined NNSL officially, did you?
No, that did not happen.
I see.
They did not take us in. I mean, they did not absorb. But don't forget, we're already sponsored by MPA, so there's no way we could have crossed to belong to national...
So, life. How do you describe your sea life? How did you progress from after the school training?
Yes. Yeah, you see, after the school training, the good thing is that along the line, our first year in the academy, the long holiday period, the 3 months from July to September, we go to sea. We went to sea.
Under whose auspices?
No, the school. It's their training requirement. Okay. They sent us to National Shipping Line vessels to actually sail out.
Okay.
So that 1980, we sailed out. Our first time to get to Liverpool and all these foreign countries. Go through the Bay of Biscay and all the stories, you know, that kind of sea life. That was that.
So that was from you were still in maritime academy.
Yes, yes, it's part of the training by the school that we must go to sea.
Okay, so that was
every 3 months. Yes, the second year again the same.
You did the same thing.
Yeah, then after the 3 years in school, we now went for 1 year. You know, we had to do the 12-month sea service before we went for our examination.
Where did you do your 12-month sea service?
This is National Shipping.
National Shipping.
Yeah.
Still under the auspices of Maritime
Academy. Yes, but then
sponsorship.
Sponsored MPA.
Nigerian Post.
Because we are still in the training.
We are still in the training.
Yes.
So then from there.
Yeah, so from there we now got, don't forget, in the course of this sea time, we're now getting our promotions.
Okay.
Junior engineer to after your cadetship as an engineer, you become a junior engineer.
I see.
Now after the junior engineer, you now go to fourth engineer.
Okay.
And by the time we got to fourth engineer, most of us have gotten our second class certificate.
I see.
Yeah, so we're now waiting for with the second class certificates, we became third engineer, and from there we could rise to second engineer. But we never became second engineer until we actually got our chiefs.
Okay.
First class certificate, that was 1989.
Okay.
So now, in the course of all that, along the line, I actually moved away to join Africa Ocean Line. I left MPA, that was 90, yes, I actually left, went national, I had to leave to national, Africa Ocean Line. I don't know if you remember.
I know.
Atunuka Biola, Atunuka and the Binta Yaradua.
Yes.
For Binta Yaradua, Atunuka Biola, we went to the Rostock shipyard in East Germany for the delivery.
I see.
Yeah, we flew down. Brought the ship back to Nigeria. It was launched at was it Tinkan or Papa there by Abiola and the other all this kind of thing.
So that means that you were not employed.
Yes,
by Africa Ocean Lines.
Yes, as at that time we were not paid by Africa Ocean because we all had left the service of MPA.
How did you leave the service of MPA? Did you resign?
No, the service of MPA means it's not as if I've left MPA per se, but my sea experience life is so that I could go there and get my sea qualification, because the idea of MPA was to take us to the highest class. It was at no cost to them for us to gather this experience. Because they were not paying us to go on board. We went on our own. At the end of all this sea service, I returned back to MPA.
Okay. And so we could say technically that you, in your sea life, you operated more like a staff of Nigerian Ports Authority.
Nigerian Ports Authority, yes. In that regard, because we are the academics, we are the officers when we started rising.
Okay.
And then along the way, don't forget.
How long did you work in Africa Ocean Lines?
I think it was about a year, because thereafter, I think they sold, the vessels have issues.
Okay.
You just have to find out.
Okay.
By a year. Yeah. From Africa Ocean Line, I went to the Sindoni River, Brower Shipping.
Yes.
Yeah, that was, from Brower Shipping, I left, came back, and then took a job as chief engineer with some. These owners of Reliance,
okay.
And, And then I had to bring a vessel from, along the line, I went to bring a vessel from Spain to Nigeria.
When you say bring a vessel, in what capacity?
Delivery.
In what
chief
capacity?
Chief
as a chief engineer.
Yeah.
So but there will be a captain, you have a captain?
No, definitely, yes. Captain, but then I went there as a chief engineer for the vessel. I don't remember the name now.
Okay.
You brought the vessels here. So until 1991, I from Indoni River, I came back to Nigeria and I left. I then came back to the office in MPA because I've gotten my first class now.
Yes.
It's now I got my first. I've gone to sea. I have a sea experience. So I've not taken charge as a chief engineer, foreign going as at that time, big class. So as at that 1991, I came back to MPA and I had to take. I went to MPA sent me to Haddinsberg, that's in Netherlands.
Okay.
To go and oversee the construction of the water barges and servicing of their all these small tugboats.
Okay.
As a superintendent engineer, I had to go and oversee that.
Okay.
Now when I came back, I had to ask for extra code, that kind of thing.
Yes.
And then my senior guys were telling me that look, if I'm not careful, they will send me out of MPA.
Why?
Because I was asking for extra code. You know, now, I did, they were supposed to have given us.
Yes, of course.
Now, when that happened, the next thing I saw was I was given a letter to go to Brutu as dockyard manager at Brutu.
Okay.
Just to take me away from Lagos and then come on me for trouble.
It was after you came back from Netherlands.
From Netherlands, after bringing, taking delivery of all those top buses, the refurbishing and all that.
Yes.
So, when that happened, I took the letter of deployment to Brutu that I left MP.
Which year was that?
That was 1992.
1992, okay.
Just, in other words, 92, 93, in at least I just walked out.
Okay, you resigned formally?
No, I was not formal resignation.
Okay, so you just left.
I just left. Now, I joined other shipping companies until I was floating with utmost shipping companies. Like I tell you, I could go deliver a vessel, come back. Then 1996, I joined Iran Shipping.
Iran?
The Islamic Republic of Iran Shipping as second engineer.
Okay.
Thereafter, I left in 2001 as a chief engineer.
So from 1996?
1996.
2001?
Yes, to 2001.
You work with Iran?
Iran Shipping, yes.
Iran Shipping Company.
Yes.
Does it mean that you had to live in Iran?
No, it was a contractual from the 9 months, 1 year, you come back. But all the while you bought. We were not given accommodation in any of the Iranian towns, no. It's a contract. We went on board. At the end of 9 months, you sign off.
Yes.
You are flown to your country.
Okay.
Fly back to Nigeria. When you have to join, you are flown from Nigeria to go and join the ship.
Where was your port base?
Well, it was a general thing. I could join the first
what
time.
What do you mean in Iran?
Okay, Bandarabas, Bandakomeni, okay. You know, those two major coastal
towns,
like Lagos, Warri,
yes.
All this kind of thing.
Yes.
So those are the places we were actually going. And, so.
And how was the service?
Yeah, it's okay. One thing in that environment is, you know, if you leave your country to go somewhere, you won't excel. You don't want to take nonsense. You don't want to take any rubbish. Because you want to prove that actually you can do it. So as to create room for more to even come from your country. Now, the only problem we had in that place was Ghanaians.
Ghanaians?
Yes. We noticed that. We met Ghanaians there. We noticed that the Ghanaians tend to align with the Iranians to discredit Nigerians. Why? Because the more Nigerians are coming in and showing the competence, we're actually, is it shining or pushing them, relegating them, and they're not too comfortable. And the Iranian shipping company were getting too confident with Nigerian performances that they were actually welcoming more Nigerians to the detriment of Ghanaians. They were not too happy at all. So you could have issues with Ghanaians teaming up with Iranians to start trying to sabotage.
I see.
Yes, I noticed that in one of my occasions, and I told the managers in Tehran, if you don't sign up this Ghanaian, let me get up this person. As a chief engineer, they listen to me, I'm not
to the Ghanaian.
So the Ghanaian was sent off. And then another occasion I had was that in 2000, my vessel arrived from Argentina, arrived in Iran from Argentina, and the port state control people came on board and they were telling me where they want to see my bilge, my sludge from the whole journey.
Yes.
I told them, from the sounding, it was very minimal. So they said I must have pumped bilge inside that Arabian Sea, that channel. I said, no, I did not. He said, I must, blah, 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 I did this. I should give them how many hundreds, some hundreds of dollars, or blah, blah, blah. I said, I did not.
They wanted to fine you.
Yes.
But is it normal that it is a captain that should make this payment?
No. You see, they said, post-state control, I'm only bringing an example. You may encounter the same process. If you interview some ship owners, they will be surprised to find that some people from the flag may go on board and start extorting.
Okay. So it's an extortion.
Yes, a form of extortion. Don't blame them.
Okay.
It created the avenue to extort me. I told them, I did not. I told them, look, I left Nigeria. Thousands of miles to come and work here. My family at home. And the operating environment is my environment. I live on sea. I live off the sea. The fresh water I drink, I generate from the sea. Why should I mess up my environment?
Yes.
He was thinking that this guy wants to be tough. He thinks he can be funny. So the junior was asked to go to the court. He took me to the court.
Okay.
24th of December, that's 1999.
Yes.
I was in the court in the Iranian country.
Which time is that?
Komeni. Yeah, Bandarabas.
Bandarabas,
yes. I was in the court. And the imam or whatever they call him asked me, is it true? I said, no, sir. With due respect, I live at sea every day of my life. That is where I belong. Why should I mess it up? And come to think of this place. What do I be messing up? And moreover, Iranian oil is very clean. The percentage of cleanness in Iran is so much that the sludge is very minimal. That's what I have. And I come from a long way. Why should I? I didn't take oil from any country.
Yeah.
Why should I not see what I don't have?
Yeah.
The magistrate said, case dismissed. If I was told that if I had been found guilty, I would have been sentenced to 5 years in prison.
Okay.
From that 99 December. Do you know the funny thing? I came back at 2000. My wife died May that same year.
Mm.
So imagine, I would have been in prison
when your wife died.
And she had a baby. The baby was just 1 year, 3 months when she died. So imagine.
Sorry about that. That was a curious coincidence.
Yes, that's funny.
As a seaman's life. We will come to that.
Yes.
But I wanted to ask you, what were the major cargoes we were carrying during those 5 years?
Okay, for the Iranian aspects, for...
In the Iranian...
We actually carry bulk. Most of these Iranian vessels, they are bulk carriers.
Okay.
Yes. But in Africa, we have containers. You know,
For Nigeria.
So we go to go to Vietnam to carry rice.
Okay.
Go to South America to carry the same rice, wheat.
Okay.
We go to Canada to carry wheat.
Okay.
And not only carrying to Iran, carrying to other countries.
Okay. Yes. They are trading with it.
Good. But the bulk of the cargo is outside to Iran.
Okay. For consumption.
Yes. And we never carried anything from Iran outside. But we're still at liberty to go to anywhere, pick up something, and take to. But purely bulk. The vessel I was on was purely bulk carrier. We have more bulk carriers than general cargo after my time.
I see. Did you enjoy the Iranian society?
We never had a chance to mix with them in town. But those on board, naturally, if you were the one, you do what they did.
Yeah.
They were not seeing Nigerians or foreigners generally as a threat to their ships. As if we own the ship.
I see.
We are the master. And because of that mentality, one of the junior officers was trying to be nasty. He was trying to start to say that, you're a foreigner, blah, blah, blah. So I told him, young man, the sea job is not limited to your country. I'm not in my country now. By virtue of my competence, I am here. The same thing will happen to you if only you take your time and get into the nitty-gritties of where you are.
Yeah.
Forget, you're not being around forever. So better be careful.
Mm-hmm.
So because of that, I was not forcing him. Go and do that thing. If it's damaged, tell them, come and report to me. I will tell the office I damaged it. Go and do it. You know, my brother, that made a change.
Mm-hmm.
The Ghanaians, when they were there, before Nigerians coming, the Ghanaians were not even letting them touch this one so that anything they will be calling them, they will keep coming. In other words, you are not transferring any knowledge or competence to these people. Yes, yes. But when we Nigerians, they were so generous that we were. So they were not swinging towards Nigerians because we were forcing them.
Okay.
When we warned them that, look, if you don't learn this thing, I'm going out of this day one day. So you better put your head down. This is your company.
Yes.
So put your head down and make sure you learn what is there so that you too can become chief engineer. You started gradually liking us. You know?
I see. What were their foods like? On board ship, of course. Was it Iranian food or?
Yeah, they had basically Iranian food. But we, when I say foreigners, we Nigerians, Ghanaians.
Or Africans.
Africans, okay. We requested to be cooking them because our stew, you know, normally we use stew to eat rice.
Yes.
But in that place, forget it.
What do they use?
They just give you this other kidneys, roasted meat or fish with the raw, with the white rice, boiled rice, like that, and vegetable.
Okay.
So all you now do is cut the fish, put in the mouth, cut the vegetable, then pack the rice and put in the mouth like that.
Just like that.
Just like that.
I see.
Never comfortable with it at
so
all.
So that's a kind of culture shock.
Yes, a big one. So we have to start asking, we go and buy tomatoes and do our fry and put on top of our rice.
I see. That's a good one. All right,
then
so
the Ghanaians at the same time were cooking their shiton, that kind of a kinky.
Yes.
So it was, that's it.
Okay, that's fine. And so you finished that in 2001?
2001, yeah, I never went back again.
And then what did you do after that?
Well, that's 2001. Funny enough, when my wife died, let me go back a little bit. When my wife passed away, as a, in that May, by June, I went, 2000, sorry, by June 2000, I joined a ship in, that's my last voyage, I joined a ship in South Africa, Irena ship in South Africa. I returned back to Nigeria 2001.
Yes.
So by the time I came back to Nigeria, and I was already using GSM outside the country.
Okay.
So when I came back to Nigeria, a friend of mine said, Ima, they are trying to do GSM in Nigeria. Why don't you come and talk about it in NTA?
Okay.
To your knowledge. I said, well, after that, well, I'll let you see, I'm at home. So that's how I went to NTA, Victoria Island.
Yes.
To start talking to Nigerians about GSM.
Yes.
So they were asking questions, and I was showing them. Which used to be some Ericsson then. I showed them a SIM card, you know, just to create that. I mean, and I was always, my slogan was, with GSM, you are better off.
Yes.
You know, so many things that, like what's happening today. I said, the lawyer could be in court, you call his people in the office, please check this and get me this data fast. And it's done. You can call a woman, please supply me food. Are we not doing it today?
Yeah.
So after that, that was 2001. Then I went into my own business, MTN. When MTN, I requested for dealership with MTN.
Yeah.
So I got it. I was now a dealer to MTN.
I see.
Yes. So that's what I was doing, selling the car, the phones, up till 2007, 2008.
Okay.
Then along the line, I was dealing with Railtel. I don't know if you remember
when I know Railtel,
and I was selling their system too.
Okay.
Thereafter, I went to Swift Network, this internet services.
Network,
So I was representing them in the first act and do all of that. Altogether Green was a major dealer there.
Okay.
Yes. So thereafter, I went to work with Higuatu, Collins Higuatu, as a technical manager.
Collins Higuatu?
Chief Collins Higuatu.
What is the name of his company?
I think.
Is it a shipping line?
It's a shipping line. Ogala Close.
Okay, Ogala Close.
Ogala Close, yeah, number two.
Yeah, so the what do? They have a ship?
Like, yeah, has a tanker.
That's a tanker?
Yes, yes, okay. Africa, something. Yeah, this is a tanker. So I was a superintendent engineer.
Okay.
So I worked with him that 2008. Then 2009, I moved over. I left 2009 to work with Quanta. It's Blue Sea.
Okay.
Blue Sea as their technical manager as well.
Okay.
So thereafter,
when you were technical manager with Egwatu, what was your job?
I was in charge of the ship. I was running the ship, maintenance, operations, surveys, parts, you know.
What were the ships doing? What were they carrying?
It was only one at that time. Okay. Tanker. It was carrying its product and refined petroleum product.
From which local origin to destination?
No, from Nigeria to any West African country.
Okay, on behalf of NNPC or?
No. It's like you own, you have a ship.
Yes.
So, assuming I want to carry a cargo, I can hire your ship.
Okay, okay.
Carry my cargo here.
To West African countries.
West Africa, yeah. Okay. It's not as if you buy the product and you know.
I understand.
Yeah,
okay. So, you did that with him and then you went on to.
Yes. So, when I left that, I went back to my office business.
Okay. Know?
Until 2013, when Gakuzi told me that they want to form a class, they're trying to form a class society with a Greek company registered in Nigeria.
Yeah.
If I can come in, here I am as a senior surveyor.
Okay. That is the Phoenix.
Phoenix Register of Shipping.
Phoenix Register of Shipping.
Yes.
Okay. Which is where you are now.
Yes, that's where I am now.
Okay. So I think you have had some very nice experiences.
Yes.
You are trying to talk about your wife. How did your sea life affect your family life?
In fact, it did a whole lot. From my experience, when I see a seaman, I appreciate. Let me go back a little bit by telling you this. When I was in Iran, I met a Ghanaian captain. And the course of our discussion, he said, look, Ima, I feel so bad. I said, why? I said, do you know that each time I go home on leave, my children are always asking me, my daughters must be asking me, Daddy, when are you going back?
Okay.
Because when I'm around, it's as if they're no more free to run around and be what they want to be. There's no father figure, no control, no discipline, nothing. And when I try to force those things, oh, they're not too happy. So that's why they're asking me, when are you going back? I said, well, such is life. I said, come to think of it, I have 5 girls, I have 1 boy, good enough. I always have as at that time my wife was still alive. My wife is still there in the house, so I don't have that issue because she's there. So it depends on you and your wife, how you tell her. Because most of the time, if you say A, the wife is like, I live on now, it has to be A minus A, even like your children. That didn't happen to me. Okay? So, that apart, I found that, let me make a general statement that of all the years from when I got married to my wife, 85, to when she died, we never spent up to 4 complete years, 24-hour day, 365 days, 4 years as a husband and wife.
Okay.
Going and coming. The only time, funny enough, the only time I was thinking of settling down, I mean, coming down to let us live our fresh life, that's when she passed away.
I see. You know?
So the sadness is that the same man is not always there.
Yeah.
For the children, the wife. Another aspect of it is that the tendency in attempt to make up might actually be creating problems for the children. You tend to spoil them in attempt to make up.
Okay.
Because you give them that which ordinarily is not part of what they should not have. I mean, okay. It's part of what they should not have, but you want to give it to them because you want to impress upon them. You start end up creating that element of, I should be more than this.
Okay.
My father is, you know, even they may carry it outside.
Okay.
And it's so bad that they continue with the children. So much so that in time to come, they will say, yeah, my father had so much that he did not do this for me.
Okay.
So for that reason, when I became conscious of that, I said, children, the best I can give to you is education.
Okay.
Whatever you want to be in life, it's up to you.
Mm-hmm.
I won't dictate, I won't direct, but I always give what you can. All my children are graduates now. It's only the last boy. That one is still graduated. The girls are all graduated. So one is already married and the grandmother, the mother already. I'm already grandfather now.
Okay.
So what am I saying?
Okay.
It's not easy for a single man. It's not easy.
Yes, yes, yes.
And one funny thing along the way is, in your relationship, you find that if you go out to buy your wife a dress, you want to buy a good dress. Like it happened to me. That 1 year I sailed away. Let me come in here. Sorry, my girl, my third girl injury was born when I was in New York.
Okay.
I wasn't there for her.
Okay.
A neighbor took my wife to the hospital.
I
had maternity.
Okay.
So, and then when my last boy was born, I was in Australia. I wasn't there either.
Okay.
You know? So, a neighbor again took my wife to the hospital. Like, okay. Can you see that kind of thing? So, what I'm trying to bring up is that generally a seaman, when I sailed away, I had to buy dresses for my wife outside. I looked at most of this country, you can get somebody who can model, like look like your wife, you can then buy the dress. Do you know I bought two suitcases full of dress for my wife?
Okay.
When I got back home, my wife was saying, why did you do that?
Yeah.
You have brought the money so I can buy the things here myself. You know the funny thing? Each time she wears any of these dresses in the office, they keep praising the dress. You see? Mission accomplished.
So it's a peculiar thing, really, to manage the home as
yes,
a seaman.
As a seaman, it's not easy.
The challenges are...
Yes, because you keep seeing things that are wrong. Don't forget, a seaman's perspective seems to be general, because you see that the whole world is a small place.
Yes, yes.
So you want to bring in that element for generality.
Yes, yes.
But how would that go on?
All right, Engineer Mestre, I think it's been a nice time talking to you, and... thank God for the way that we were able to weather all the storms.
That's it.
You know, both in family life and in the...
Yes, and one thing I noticed among seafarers, national and whatever, is the tendency not to argue or haggle.
Okay.
If you tell a seaman this phone is 1,000, he just dips his hand in his pocket and pays you the 1,000. And then when he takes the phone home and tells somebody, I bought this phone, he cheated, you should have been 600 or 500. You don't feel bad. The one I'm trying to say is that the seamen, they have their peculiar
attitude.
Yeah. Their perception is very peculiar.
Yes.
So what a seaman can actually move his eyes and give to you as far as you want to see.
Yeah.
to him, like we're told in the beginning, we're in between the living and the dead. So life doesn't, you just take life easy as it comes, easy as she goes.
Yeah.
It's fun, it's good. It shows that the whole world is a small place.
Yes.
Earth, at least, is a small place.
Yes.
That's what I learned from it all. Do you know that in New York in 1991, January or thereabout, a white man in the streets of New York, Chamber Street, where that World Trade Center that was
on, yeah,
stopped me on the way and said, brother, I got a wife and two kids. I ain't got a dime on me. I gave him $10. He said, God bless you, a white man.
Yes. So, of course, there are beggars everywhere, so we shouldn't make a big deal.
No, people think going to America is, you're going to
everyone. Everyone is a millionaire. All right, Captain, engineer, Mestre, sorry. Yes. Thank you very, very much.
Well,
we'll keep in touch with you.
All right, guys.
Thank you.
I hope you do too.